Welcome to the podcast of MotorWeek, television's original automotive magazine. MotorWeek is made possible by RockAuto.com. Here's your host, John Davis.
And thank you, Alec Webb, the tones that you hear on every episode of MotorWeek and all our podcasts. Welcome to MotorWeek podcast number 53. And I want to welcome around our table in Studio C, our road test producer and two-wheeling reporter, Brian Robinson.
Thanks for having me, John.
And our over-the-edge reporter, Stephen Chupnik.
Hello.
And we're going to take a look at a number of cars that were on the top of everybody's minds at the recent New York International Auto Show. And we're going to talk about the Ford Focus and the fact that it's now a 40-mile-per-gallon, very roomy compact car. And a little bit about luxury meeting practicality and the Cadillac CTS-V Sportwagon. So let's start with the New York Auto Show, which all of us were not only at, but we were up to our necks in because we were producing a special for Discovery's HD Theater.
Be sure to check that out.
Which will air on May 25th at 8 o'clock Eastern Time. Anyway, you'll get to see all of us at the show and taking you on a tour of the New York International Auto Show, not on public days, but on press days before the show even opens. So it's a rare look inside the show, and we all, had a very intense 2 days. But how about the cars? What time you didn't have to worry about being at the next stand, did you notice anything at the show that really set you on fire that you thought was a significant car? Who wants to start? Brian?
Yeah, I've been to like every auto show pretty much there is, but this is my first time in New York, so it was cool to be up there, check everything out. The biggest car stood out to me was the Scion FRS.
Wow, what a concept.
And it looked awesome. And I guess they did that in conjunction with Subaru.
Yes, Toyota now controls Subaru. And this was the first example of them working together on a car. So it'll have a flat four-cylinder engine, a la Subaru.
Right. That looked cool. I like that one. And I guess new Accent, which they're saying close
Hyundai
to 50 miles a gallon. So.
Yeah, non-hybrid, basically a fairly roomy subcompact, but they're talking about 50-mile-per-gallon standard. How about you, Steven?
Yeah, I didn't have a chance to see a lot of the stuff. We were, you know, we were running around, but in the luxury area, the Spyker, the Lotus,
the sports cars.
Yeah, and they, I think those stood out. Saab's new Phoenix.
The Phoenix concept, very interesting, and now that they're basically tying up with a Chinese company, it looks like they may survive, so that's good news. Yeah.
That and Mazda gave away hot dogs during their presentation.
That was a high point for you, huh?
And within 10 minutes, they were gone, so I didn't have a chance to partake. So, yeah, but that's what happens when you give away free food to journalists.
Free food for journalists doesn't last very long. No. I was fascinated by the tried and true sedans because, you know, Americans proved the last time we had gas crunch that they weren't willing to downsize too much to get better fuel economy. So over at Ford, you had basically the full-size Taurus getting its new EcoBoost four-cylinder engine, which will give it fuel economy of close to 30 miles per gallon, and this is going to be for a full-size car, so that's very significant. And then over at Chevrolet, they also were showing a 2012 model, the new Malibu, which is basically an all-new car, and the first model out will be their Echo model, which will be with the new activated grille shutters and all the other aerodynamic tricks. So it'll get high fuel economy for a car that is that big. It's a big midsize, but it's almost full size. So I'm very heartened by the fact that the automakers are looking at the bread and butter products and figuring out how they're going to give the public what they want as far as fuel economy without basically telling them they've got to all get into a shoebox. So people say, is this, you know, this is not an exciting time in the business because we don't have as much flashy styling. And I say, well, that's not true. We have plenty of flashy styling, but more important, it's covering vehicles that are basically technologically very advanced and will help make this $4 a gallon gas more palatable.
Yeah. If we stay at $4 again.
If we stay at $4. Who knows? I guess all bets are off on that.
But I think fuel economy was the big story there. Every automaker there just showed up, and they, you know, over 40, this and this. That was the big story. That
40 is the new black. Someone at I think Krafcek, the head guy at Hyundai in the U.S., said it, and he's right that if you're doing a compact car, you've got to be able to talk about 40 mile per gallon some way, shape, or form. And when you think about it, Cruze, Focus, the new Civic, of course, his new Elantra, you know, they all hit that mark.
And some require like a special fuel economy package, which I'm not sure if that's readily available or if they're going to limit those or...
You know, I think it's a lot of people will probably not want to pay the extra money. What is it on Focus? $500. $500 for the fuel economy package. They'll probably be saying, well, you know, I'll settle for the one that gets 36 or 38. Mm-hmm. But you know what happens in this business? Whatever is optional now will be standard in a year or two. Anything else about New York?
I did see the Fiat 500, the convertible, the cab convertible reveal. And what Fiat did with that, they had one that rolled out and then one that was on its side, just straight up vertical, that you could see the whole top down. And I thought the display that they had there was really cool. And the car looks really cool.
You probably could have picked it up yourself. Mm. How about you?
The new Beetle, it was cool to see that. Wasn't drastically different than the current Beetle styling-wise, but it's got the Fender audio system, which if you ever get a chance to check that out, definitely crank it. And it's a cool little car.
New York, speaking of good cars, we mentioned the Ford Focus. We've had experience with that car now. It's part of Ford's whole game plan to have a wide variety of what they call C-car out there. The one we've had in here recently has left some very good impressions.
Yeah, we had the five-door hatch, which obviously we prefer to the sedan just because of practicality and styling.
It looks a lot
better.
Lot
cool. Yeah. The interior is really nice. I'd say as good as any in the segment, maybe not the best, but certainly as good. And as you mentioned, this super fuel economy package gets 40 miles per gallon highway. It's a pretty fun car to drive, surprisingly, for a car that's
very European.
Not really. Yeah, it's not really a sports car per se, just a compact car. But yeah, it's pretty fun to drive. 6-speed automatic, gets really good fuel economy, as we said.
It really does seem to be the same car that they built for Europe. So, in other words, where handling is more important than it is here. Very tight. Do you have a chance to drive it, Stephen?
I have. And just like Brian said, it's a great car to drive. Mm-hmm. If I had one complaint about it, it's the sync system and the MyFordTouch, which I know we always complain about the sync, and I've never liked that. They have made it compatible for the iPod and all the Apple products.
I found this system less – maybe I'm getting used to it, but I found it less bothersome than, say, when we had it on the Explorer. And I don't know if it's, I'm just getting used to it, or I don't have to look at the screen as much, or what.
It's kind of like iDrive. It's a combination of them refining it and us getting more used to it. I think you mentioned earlier about people that buy midsize cars and don't necessarily want to step down, but Ford has aggressed that with the Focus. They got a Platinum package model, which has a lot of the technology stuff, a lot of the luxury items that if you step down to a compact, maybe you have to give up, but not anymore.
And you really you're not giving up much room either. If you look at Focus and the Cruze and the new Elantra, they really bump right up against midsize cars. Matter of fact, I think the Elantra is actually classified as a midsize, but. You're to the point where there has been some comments by the people in the industry saying that compact cars will actually take over the leadership in sedans from midsize. But that's only because the compacts have gotten so big.
Right. They're the same size as what midsizes were 10 years ago.
Exactly.
And I think compacts with the price as well. I think people are looking to save money. And you're getting the same car that you would pay, you know, for the Civic and then, you know, what an Accord first was.
I mean, some of them are very sophisticated. Speaking of sophisticated, and of course a horse of an entirely different color, the Cadillac CTS-V. Now, for anyone that's been living under a rock, V for velocity is what Cadillac calls its high-performance models. CTS is the sport wagon, is the wagon version of their popular CTS sedan and coupe. Recently, we had one here. We've had all the Vs, and I don't think we've ever not liked one.
Yeah, I mean, as rare as wagons are, you take one with a manual transmission, even rarer, and then put a supercharged V8 in there, and even rarer. So definitely a one of its kind. I like the fact that it's a real sleeper. I mean, other than like the V badging, people have no idea what that car's got in and what it's capable of. I gave a couple people rides, and you know, they didn't know about CTS-V at all, even that it was their high performance. And man, that thing throws you back in your seat, and you take off, and the people are very impressed with it.
And they've really done a great job of building the CTS into, I think, a real BMW 3 Series fighter. I'm not sure everybody that likes the 3 Series would go for the styling. And it doesn't have quite the cachet, but they've done an excellent job of building it up. And I look at the CTS V Sport Wagon, I'm thinking, you know, I'd like to have one myself. I'm not sure how many they will sell. Maybe that makes one. But if you want some practicality and you still want to preserve that sports sedan mentality, it's a great choice.
Yeah, it was a ton of room in there. I went on the preview out. It was out of Laguna Seca, so I got to spend some track time out there. And the car was just amazing on the track. And I don't know if you've been at any events out there lately. They really, with the noise regulations out there now, they really like curb what you can do, and you can't go full speed down the straightaway. And
even in a production car?
Yeah, I got all these regulations now. But even with all that, the corkscrew is still the corkscrew, and it's still Laguna Seca, and that's an awesome
very
car
challenging
to have
racetrack.
Yeah, it did awesome.
Let's move on now to our lightning round. Okay, our lightning round is where we basically have 2 minutes to discuss a topic that's been drawn up by Michelle Parker, our producer. And at the end of that 2 minutes, you will hear Michelle ring the bell, which means to wrap it up and get on to the next thing. So here we go. With the price of gas now at or above $4 a gallon, and the Nissan Leaf and Chevrolet Volt receiving top safety awards in crash tests, do we think there will be a significant spike in electric vehicle sales? And start the clock.
I would say no, but just because they're still limited in their production. I mean, I think people are buying up everything that's available right now. I think sales will definitely increase. I don't think it's going to be a big huge leap, and I think they'll just ramp up slowly as more become available.
How about you, Stephen?
I agree with that, but just I think what we were talking about before is some of these smaller mid-sized cars or compact cars, you're going to see an increase in them before you see an increase in
the less money.
Well, not only the less money, but I think it's these electric cars are still new. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's hard to really push them. I mean, people say, oh, it's the Volt, it's the Leaf, it's electric cars, that's where we're going. But I know the Elantra. I know these small,
comfortable
with I'm very comfortable
with
these.
There's a definite buzz, though, out there with the Leaf and the Volt. I mean, every time I'm at a party or a school function for my kids, and people find out what I do, and that's all they want to talk about. Have you driven the Leaf, and which one is better, Leaf Volt, and which one should I buy? And so there's definitely a lot of interest in them right now.
You know, everything in the auto industry always starts out as a high price. And within a relatively short time, we're talking 3 to 5 years, those prices come down to earth. And there's absolutely no reason to not think that's going to happen with electric cars. I who knows what's going to be 10 years from now. But my guess is 10 years from now, they're going to be basically very mainstream. And people will either buy a pure electric or they'll buy some facet of it. For instance, there's a lot of talk that the next generation of all-wheel drive crossover vehicles will actually have a gas engine that will turn the front wheels and electric motors that will turn the rear wheels, not unlike the Toyota Highlander
Lexus
has now.
Oh, yeah.
And Lexus. So, you know, I think we are going to see more of them, but it may not be in the purest form, and prices will come down. So I think the answer to the nail bag is yes, but give it time. Speaking of our mailbag, now this is the question where if you send in a question and you get it answered, you get a free Motor Week T-shirt. And our question comes from John in Kerrville, Texas. Here we go. On a recent Motor Week episode, you told us about the Fiat 500, but didn't mention the Fiat 500 electric. So
see,
it's another electric car
I told
story.
You I was getting asked about electric all
I
the time.
You.
It just doesn't stop.
I've been reading that it's also being produced in all-electric Fiat. What is the story on that? Okay.
Yeah, I haven't heard a whole lot about
They've
it.
They've shown it.
Yeah. I guess, was it Detroit last year?
Yeah, last year.
And I think all the engineering is development's being done in Michigan here by Chrysler. And I think it's supposed to be a 2013 model. Is that correct?
I think that's about right.
Yeah, that's really all I know.
And you can expect that it's going to have the same kind of specs as a lot of the other electric cars, which means on a full charge, roughly 70 to 110 or 120 miles, given depending on the conditions. It will probably take, with two 40-volt circuit, you know, 10 hours or so to charge it. You know, it'll be for running around in short distances or as a commuter car, and it'll probably be pretty safe because the batteries give it extra weight and keep the center of gravity low.
Yeah, well, speaking of batteries, it'll be interesting because I know the Leaf is kind of designed to begin with to have room for the batteries. Adding batteries to that chassis, it'll be interesting.
It's like, you know, I have much space in the back seat now.
Exactly, yeah.
Where are you gonna, so my guess is you might be right. It could be a two-person car. Right. I mean, it's awfully cool. What is your thought on something that small?
I think
Steven?
Something – I mean, you look at the smart – I mean, you know, everybody asks about the smart electric. Eventually, it's going to happen. I think – and you're seeing smaller and smaller cars being – becoming electric.
It makes sense.
It just makes sense.
They're lightweight. That brings to a close our Motor Week podcast number 53. I want to thanks very much to Brian Robinson and also Stephen Chepnick.
You're welcome, John.
And I also want to thank our audio engineer for the day. The big guy, Jim Bigwood, has been manning the board. Our podcast creator, Bob Mixter, and our producer, Michelle Parker. Also, would like to thank Rock Auto for supporting Motor Week and our podcast efforts. I'm John Davis. Till next time, be sure to catch us on Motor Week on your local public television station and also on HD Theater, and we'll be right back here with more Motor Week.
You've been listening to the podcast of Motor Week, television's original automotive magazine. Motor Week is made possible by RockAuto.com. For additional information on podcasts, videos, and showtimes, visit our website at MotorWeek.org. And watch Motor Week, television's longest-running automotive series, each week on your local PBS station.